Hello and welcome to Hibana, the Japan Travel, Life, and Culture Guide. I am Isaac.
And I'm Abby. And today we are talking Japanese nightlife.
Japanese nightlife.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this one.
I am too. Admittedly, I'm a little bit of a homebody, so I don't go out too often. But when I do, Japan is definitely a place to have a good time.
I'm not too crazy, but I enjoy the nightlife. I don't know.
So what kind of stuff does nightlife in Japan entail?
There are a couple of extra things, I would say, which we'll dive into the details of that. But there's definitely some variations to what you'd see in the United States typically. In the entertainment districts, I'd say you'd see a karaoke bar probably
definitely
every other block.
Yeah.
They have things called like girls' bars, snack bars, regular bars, izakayas, obviously strip clubs.
Host clubs.
So there's
dance clubs, everything.
Dance clubs.
Yeah, there's always something to do once the sun goes down.
Yeah. So before we dive into this, I've probably mentioned this before, but I always like to preface this by saying, when you're in a foreign country, I can't stress this enough. Really, like, be aware of your surroundings and your consumption and everything else like that. I know it's easy to just want to have a good time, but when you're a foreigner in a foreign country, whether you're alone or with a group, like, there's going to be a lot of people, not a lot of people, but there will be people who try and take advantage of that and take advantage of you. And
I mean, Japan is overall, like, even statistically, a lot safer than the United States or even Europe. But you still don't want to give anyone the chance to take advantage of you.
Correct. There was actually a quick side note here. I just wanted to mention this story. This is a very extreme story, but and a very unfortunate one. But have you heard of Otto Warmbier? Warm, B-I-E-R?
I have not.
Okay, so he is, I think this was in 2017. You can Wikipedia it, but basically he was an American who went over to North Korea, and, you know, he was having a good time with his friends out drinking, and unfortunately, supposedly, he had tried to steal a propaganda poster ended up being sentenced to, like, 15 years of hard labor in North Korea. And so, isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's an extreme case, but...
Yeah, obviously an extreme case, but...
Yeah.
Be mindful of these things.
I don't want anything like that to happen to you. You know, you don't want to wake up in a suite with a tiger in the bathroom and, like, you owe money to the Yakuza.
Yes. The typical story.
Yeah. That's what happened to me last Tuesday, but
Yes. It happens to the best of us, doesn't it? So, did you have anything particular you wanted to start off with, or just rush into this?
Let's just dive right into what I am most familiar with, karaoke.
That was actually the first one I was thinking of.
Heck yes. Karaoke is a lot different than what I was imagining when I first went to Japan.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you think of karaoke nights at bars here, you know, you think of, like, getting up in front of a bunch of strangers, and it's like, oh God, I'm not a very good singer and I shouldn't be singing, but I want to sing. But there's always that social pressure. Not existent in Japan.
I always associate it in the United States as just this lame thing. I always picture this dude who's either, like, fully drunk or, like, maybe halfway drunk. That's up there, like, you know, giving it his all because, obviously, like, your guard or your nerves drop, like, drinking. And so, like, and then I'm just picturing myself, like, in the corner just trying to have a conversation. But, like, the entire, like, obviously, they got the sound system, so it's, like, impossible to have a good conversation. It's just, I can't remember the last time I've even been in a karaoke bar in the United States.
Yeah, I try to avoid them.
I don't know. I've been to one, but that was actually a Tokyo-themed bar. So, I mean, that kind of made sense. It's in Cincinnati. Tokyo Kitty, if you've ever. But, so what are the differences that you've seen?
Well, the biggest difference is, I would say, the venue. So, in America, we typically go to karaoke bars, which is primarily a bar, you know, with alcohol and, you know, people in the background and everything. More common in Japan, you will go to a karaoke box. which is a type of business that like specifically is about karaoke.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what I would say, or kind of my take on that to go off of what you've already said, is that I would imagine just like a regular bar with like a sound system and a microphone and like the karaoke up on the television, mm-hmm. or whatever, and kind of like still an open area that everybody can hear, like whoever's on the karaoke thing, right? Whereas in Japan, as you said, the karaoke box. So usually you would rent, mm-hmm. a karaoke box, which is just like a small room. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I would say intimate atmosphere, yeah. right? Like it's like your own room. And you would rent it for an hour or 2 hours or however long you wanted to. And then that was like your own dedicated karaoke thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a table and you could order drinks or like appetizers, I think, on
yeah,
some of them.
They have a like exclusive menu, like pizza and nachos and everything. It's great.
Yeah. So it's a really good time.
Oh,
it's a really
awesome.
Good time. I very much enjoy it and very much missed it.
Oh, I know. Because something about Japanese culture is, I feel like a lot more Americans are more comfortable spontaneously dancing than spontaneously singing, wouldn't you say? Unless you're like a good singer, you don't want to sing.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, yeah.
So in Japan, it's actually the opposite. Even if they're like bad singers, you're allowed to sing. They do not like to just like break down into dance, though. That's pretty new.
I think that's fair.
I think it kind of stems from the Japanese always kind of wanting to have rules or like steps to follow. You know what to do when you're doing karaoke. The words are on the screen. Huh. If you're dancing and like you don't know a routine, you're gonna flounder.
Okay.
So that makes the Japanese very nervous. So they prefer to sing rather than dance.
Okay. I just remember, and by the way, they also have English songs.
Oh, yeah.
They have both Japanese and English songs, and you'd be surprised how many English songs they actually do have.
They have Chinese and Korean songs, so much. They have, like, I think the one karaoke bar I normally went to advertised more than 1 million songs.
You see?
So,
holy cow. That's insane. Yeah. But you also get, like, a little device.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's not an iPad, but it's kind of a little bit more robust than that. Yeah, it's a tablet, but, I mean, you can search by... kind of exactly what you would expect. You can search by artist, you can search by album, you can search by song name, you can search by genre, I think.
Yeah.
You can search by like top 40. So it's a pretty nice setup.
And even if you do want to sing Japanese songs, sometimes they will have assistance on the screen. So it'll have the Japanese words, and then above it, it'll have the Romaji, which is like the English equivalent of the Japanese words.
Yeah, yeah.
You can even try out some Japanese songs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Another thing that was kind of cool of it is that each room has its own dedicated phone.
Yes.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of two purposes. One, you can, let's say, like, you want to order drinks, be like, you could just pick up the phone and the person at the front desk could be like, yeah, 3 Asahi or whatever, and mm-hmm. they'll have it delivered. And you can continue on singing and everything else like that. Or they'd also call and tell you like, hey, 5 minutes until the end, and, you know, let you know. So it's a pretty cool thing that I've never seen over here.
Oh, I know. It's awesome. I love going out to karaoke boxes.
I would say it's definitely a staple.
Yeah.
A staple of Japanese nightlife for sure.
And like not just young adults, like high school kids will go out to karaoke boxes and... You know, people, like, after work parties finishes, they'll go out. Or sometimes even, like, people will go alone as, like, a way to, like, de-stress.
Oh, yeah. My best friend, I mentioned before, Choku, he loved karaoke. He would go alone, I think, on a scale of, like, once a week or so.
Yeah.
He just loved it.
I think there's actually a Netflix series. It's called, like, Agretsuko. And it's like a cat or something, and she does like death metal in the karaoke box. I've never watched it, but I know it's mostly about karaoke.
I'll watch it out for that one.
Yeah.
So what else about nightlife? What else do you have to say?
Well, I think we owe them a little bit more about karaoke. So I wanted to talk about like how going to a karaoke box works.
Okay.
So what are the big chains that were in your area? Because they're not typically individual businesses, they're like franchises.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't honestly think of any.
Big like Echo. Sound.
Oh, okay, Big Echo.
Soundax.
Yeah, I think that's what I was
thinking. Big Echo, Soundax, Round One.
Round One.
Round One wasn't just karaoke. They had like arcades, they had go-karts, they had everything. Round
One was huge.
My favorite was Maneki Neko.
Oh, really?
That was my go-to.
Why is that? Like, what features did it have that was made it stand out to you?
Well, the logo is just one of those big cats that waves its
arms. Oh, really? Okay. So it's just purely off the logo. It wasn't
and that. Also, it was pretty prominent in my region. We had like 5 different karaoke boxes for Maneki Neko. So, but when you go there, they'll kind of ask you like how long do you want to be here for?
Yeah.
You can get like 1-hour packages, 2-hour packages, or you can do free time. Which is, you know, you basically just go in the box, you sing, and then when you're done, you come out, and then they'll give you, like, your
okay, so it's kind of like it's not unlimited. They just, like, hey, whenever I'm done, I'm done, and whatever it comes to, like,
yeah.
Okay.
And then sometimes you'll also have, like, a mandatory food charge. You'll have to order, like, 2,000 yen of food, which is, like, $20, so it's reasonable, and if you go with a big enough group, you definitely meet that quota fast.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But, if you want, like, before you go to Japan, you can download the apps. And, you know, they'll send you coupons, they'll let you rack up points. And also, you can translate the apps. Because sometimes, if the workers don't speak English, you know, be a bit of a hassle to arrange it all. So, if you go in knowing what you want, it will definitely make the process a lot easier.
I didn't know they had like apps associated with them. Actually,
The Japanese love like point card systems and like app, and those are like transitioning into apps. So there's always going to be an app for that. Yeah.
Duly noted.
Yeah.
I'll look out for that.
So what else did you like to do when the sun went
what
down?
What else? I'd say let's start on nightclubs. So have you gone to any nightclubs? Just basic nightclubs in America or in
not in America Japan. In Japan I went to like one or two in my city, though my city was very small, maybe 250,000 people. Scene wasn't exactly like lively. But like I said, the Japanese are a lot more reserved when it comes to dancing. So most of the time when you go out, it's like a bar setting. You're talking, you know, you're chilling, maybe doing some like smoking and eating. So
okay,
yeah.
I've gone. It's been a while since I've gone to a nightclub in the States. Gosh, definitely pre-COVID. It's probably been 5 years since I've gone to a nightclub in the States, actually. But I enjoyed going in the downtown Osaka, and what was the name of the nightclub that I frequented? I went to several different ones, but it was pretty similar to what I'd seen in the United States. I'm trying to think of some differences. So the menus usually on one side would be Japanese and then the other side would be English.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty foreigner friendly, I'd say.
Yeah.
The music they would play is a mix of Japanese and, you know, English, English pop songs. You can get different, like with anything else, you can get different flavors. So one of the club, I forget the name, not that it matters, but one of the clubs was more like rap based. Another one was more like top 40 hits. Another one that I went to was kind of like electronic, like weird, I would say weird electronic, actually.
Underground electronic.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But yeah, it's the same as here in the United States. Some places would be hopping. Other places, like, there's, like, nobody on the dance floor.
I will say that, especially in the big cities, like, theme bars are kind of popular.
Okay.
Like, I know in Tokyo, there's one called The Church. Literally, like, the bartenders are dressed up as nuns.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Like, you know, you get, like, a little communion wafer when you come in and stuff.
What?
Yeah.
That is so weird.
Oh, God. There's one. I can't remember if it's Kobe or Osaka, but I don't know what the theme... But basically, the guy at the bar dresses up like the crow every night.
Who's the Crow?
You know the Crow, like that Brandon Lee movie?
I'm not familiar.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So he has like, you know, long black hair, heavy makeup. Oh, it's great. Okay, it's great. Okay. Also the only place in the area where you can get absinthe. But
Wow. Yeah. Okay, then.
But yeah, I've seen a ton of other bars. They have like idol bars and they
really
have, yeah, they have like not a Hello Kitty one, but definitely like cute little character bars and stuff like that. Yeah.
All right, so since you kind of transitioned us into to bars, let's maybe talk about some of the different ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned a bunch of, obviously...
Theme ones.
What do you have to say about izakayas?
Oh my gosh. Just amazing, amazing food. That's where you get like the hole-in-the-wall food. Like you're like tired, you're drunk, and you just want some grub, and it just hits the spot so right.
So I would compare izakayas to like pubs.
Yeah.
Here, you could probably get a burger at a pub,
mm-hmm.
but it's mostly alcohol based, like you're alcohol driven, but it's also a restaurant.
Yeah.
Not restaurant proper, but you do sit down and mm-hmm. you've got your own table and everything else like that. So.
And you know, it's a fair mix. It's a fair mix of like, you know, table and chairs, or sometimes you will get like the kotatsu and the tatami mats.
Yeah, so. I've seen that before.
Yeah, there's always something that you can find to suit your taste.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got here. So, do you remember, have you heard of girls bars or snack bars?
I have not, actually.
Oh, you really haven't?
No.
Oh, okay. So, I would say compared to the United States, you've got like, Here are the levels, I would say. There, you've got like bars, then you kind of jump to like strip clubs, like mm-hmm. zero to not the most sexual entertainment in the world, but you know, that's the next level up from bars.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Japan, there's actually a couple of levels in between. So I would say the next level up from a regular bar would be what's called a snack bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that is you... It's kind of understood that there's going to be women, or what I found is women, behind the bar, and they're literally dedicated to talking to you. So not only do they pour you a drink, but they have a conversation with you.
So it's almost like a host club, but for guys.
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's like
and
more toned. Yeah, it's cheaper and it's more toned back. Like the women will, I would say, so generally from what I've seen and what I understand, it's generally women
mm-hmm.
who, not girls, like women, older women who would work there. And of course, because it's called a snack bar, you get like a small snack.
Yeah. But that's not the main attraction.
Correct. Well, yeah correct. That's by far, I mean, there's alcohol and you're talking with a woman. So
yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. At the one, I don't think this is across the board. At the one though, it was an interesting system. So you would have like your own bottle of liquor,
mm-hmm.
your own dedicated bottle of liquor. And so what, you know, they if you're a new customer, they'd open up a new bottle for you. They give you a tag, you'd write your name on your tag, and then they put that tag on that bottle.
Huh.
And then, you know, as you're drinking, yada, 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 they'd see that your drink is empty. They'd pour you another drink from your bottle. And then once you'd finish a bottle, of course, yay, agatsu gozaimasu. Right, of course. So that's what I've got to say about snack bars, kind of toned back.
So I know that you speak conversational Japanese, at least.
Yeah.
Would these snack bars be accessible to like foreigners who don't speak any Japanese? Or?
It's a good question. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it from what I've seen.
Because mm-hmm. You mostly go there for a conversation.
Correct.
So that's if you can't make
point.
Conversation,
yeah, it
that's...
makes it a bit, yeah. But that's kind of a little bit of insight.
Yeah.
But that's a good point.
And this, again, is like a cultural difference. In America, I would kind of say that paying for company, like paying for companionship is, you know, not seen as... like a good thing.
Yeah, correct.
But it's very common in Japan.
It is.
Like, I once read an article about this stranger in Tokyo. It's like literally rent a stranger. I'll go on a walk with you. You know, I'll wash your bathtub. I'll do anything. We can just talk. Huh. And he was like booked solid for like months.
Really?
People just wanted to talk. Yeah, so I think Japan's a very busy, it's a go, go, go society. And that can get really lonely sometimes. Mm-hmm. And they've just accepted that as a reality and they've catered to it. So.
Oh, I've never heard about that. But the way you frame it, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
To continue on, so that's snack bars. And then one level up from what I found is something called girls bars.
Uh-huh.
So kind of the same concept, except the girls are younger and they're like dolled up. Super dolled up. I remember, so...
Do you mean like kind of sultry dolled up or like idol dolled up?
Sultry?
Okay. Yeah.
If I understand the definition of that correctly. Yeah. So just to give you a quick story. So I was... I don't know where I was at. I was away from Osaka out mm-hmm. on a job with some Japanese contractors. And of course, you know, I'm a foreigner and, oh, you got to come out with us. Okay. So I went out with them and, you know, they went to the entertainment district and they ended up, again, they don't tell me anything or they really probably didn't even speak much English. Actually, they didn't speak much English. So it was kind of just like a whatever. They didn't explain what they were doing, wherever you're going. So I was the first one in the door. We opened up the door and I saw probably the shortest dress I've ever seen in my entire life. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'm liking this so far. So we all go in, sit down at like a booth. And they ask us what we want to drink. They come back with our drink order, and then the girl sits down with us. And mm-hmm. I was like, what's going on here? And then, you know, she starts like having a conversation with all of us and everything else like that. And I'm like, I'm so confused. I'm like, what are you doing? And then like I started, like the wheels started turning, but... Yeah, obviously that's going to cost more than your average bar. Other drinks are, and you usually there's different flavors of girls' bars. So in some cases, you buy them the drink, which it's just like apple juice or something that, and they'll say things like, "Can I get another drink, please?" or "Do you mind if I have another drink?" And then their drink will be like $10 or $20 or something like that. Obviously, so. Obviously more pricey, but yeah, it's a different experience, and I haven't seen anything like that, like a dedicated, like, this is called a girls' bar. Like, everybody is on the same page as far as, like, what goes down in this bar, but no touching of any kind at all.
Yeah. So when you go into places like that, or, like, a host club or anything, you definitely got to be aware of what's expected.
Yes.
There's a lot of... unspoken rules that if you break them, things are gonna go down fast and you're getting thrown out and maybe even a black eye.
Correct.
Yeah.
What's kind of, I don't like, you're feeling it's easy. I can easily see dudes getting sucked into that though, right? When you go into like a strip club, for example, you know, of course the common phrase is, oh, I think she likes me. It's like, well, obviously, I mean, I guess there's a chance that she does, but it's clear, like, it's clear what the relationship here is. It's strictly, like, business. But obviously, like, some dudes get sucked into it.
Mm-hmm.
Same with girls' bars. Some dudes, and the girls, I mean, it's literally, like, straight up flirting. Like, oh my gosh, you're so funny. Oh, you're so smart. And then they'll put their hand on your leg, and you'd be feeling good.
Yeah, especially if you're... a little bit tipsy.
Yeah.
And if you're a foreigner who doesn't understand that like social difference that, okay, this is just what she's paid to do.
Correct.
You know? And I'm not expected to take this any farther. So
yeah. I will say, again, in the same vein as snack bars, the girls generally do not speak much English.
Yeah.
I went to one that the girl spoke like perfect English.
Oh, wow.
So I kind of got lucky that time, but... Yeah, that's. I mean, you can try it out, sure.
Well, fun fact, one of my teachers that I worked with,
an
English teacher, so her boyfriend, who was also an English teacher, he was a host at a host club. to really? Pay his way through college.
Oh, wow. So
I'm like, yeah, that's a host that speaks English.
Wow. Okay, so let's... Yeah. Oh, well, the one thing I will say is that they have girls' bars and boys' bars.
Oh, okay.
So the other side of the coin. Don't know how... I'm assuming boys' bars work exact same way.
Yeah.
But I think girls' bars are definitely more prominent than boys' bars.
And I would suggest that if you are feeling brave enough to try something like that, probably a boys' or a girls' bar is the best place to do that. Because a host club is a lot more than a tourist might bargain for.
So, do we want to get into that? I mean, I honestly, that I've stopped at girls' bars. Like, that's as far or as high up as I want.
Yeah,
that I was comfortable going.
I've never been to a host club because, at least at the one this guy worked at, because I kind of questioned him, like, okay. Oh my God, what was life like as a host? And he said that, you know, at the club, you had to have a membership and you had to be invited by someone who was already a member.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you kind of had to have an in. And then, you know, like, the bottles of champagne you're expected to buy are literally like, thousands of dollars. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you know, not typically a lot of English speakers unless you're lucky and get a college student
that would
studying
be crazy.
So yeah,
so they've got host clubs and then hostess clubs, right?
Yes. And again, that's just, it's kind of like paid companionship, you know. They're gonna talk with you, they might flirt with you a little, they'll, you know, I don't know, they might like play games with you sometimes, like, yeah, you know, pool or something, but it's always expected that, you know, nothing is going to go on outside of this. What happens at the host club stays at the host club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that at some of the girls' bars that I was at, they would do karaoke as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, like one of the guys... He was like an older guy, one of the contractors that I was with. He was like starting to fall asleep at the table, and he was like an older guy. So, yeah. I remember they were like not begging him, but it puts you in an awkward situation,
yeah,
if you were a girl, right? Like, what is this dude? We need to keep this dude up. So,
yeah,
they're like, you're up next, Oji-san. Like, and they were trying to like make him sing so that,
oh,
you
yeah
know, he stayed awake. And
oh, yeah.
Just an interesting situation.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm sure that's not the first time that's happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially at host clubs. Host clubs are not really catered to tourists because they are the kind where they make their money on the people who are going there like three times a week.
Yeah.
Boys bars and girls bars, you could probably visit and, you know, they wouldn't mind, but yeah.
What's next?
I don't know. What do you think?
So, red light districts.
Yes.
You've heard of red light districts.
Yeah, I have.
There's entertainment districts, and then there's, like, red light districts, which
yeah
kind of the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the technical term of red light districts is places where, or districts where police, like, look away, and that's kind of, like, understood.
Yeah.
As far as, like, prostitution and stuff goes,
because I do believe that technically prostitution is illegal in Japan, but it's like eyes wide shut kind of thing.
Yeah I've only been to one red light district, and I honest to God accidentally walked through it. So
oh
it was,
my gosh,
have you
yes
heard of
that has happened to me too. I believe you, definitely.
So have you heard of Susukino?
No.
It's the red light district of Sapporo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty much across the board. I mean, you'll see, like, you know, prostitution, but it's also, like, there's a significant amount more of, like, bars and mm-hmm nightclubs and everything else. So it's just, like, a general, like, entertainment district.
Yeah. I remember my mom came to visit me, and we were visiting Osaka.
Okay.
And I'm like, you have to see Dontonbori.
Yeah.
Which is the area with all the lights, all the cool advertising. It's just a cool place to go look at.
Yeah.
When we were walking there, we kind of accidentally trekked through the red light district. And my mom was like, if this is the kind of place we're going to, I do not want to go. I'm like, no, this isn't. This is just
we just gotta get through it. Yeah,
yeah.
We just gotta.
Yeah, but one thing you will notice in the red light districts is that they're not really advertised as, you know, places where prostitution happens. They're advertised as massage parlors.
Yes.
Or sometimes I've seen one, it was like a it was like a bubble parlor where they have bubble baths.
I know there's a famous one in Osaka. It's like Soapland.
Yeah,
that's what they called.
Yeah, and you know, it's not directly advertised, but it's very implied.
It's very understood, like everybody.
And honestly, you know, they sometimes have like menus with the prices outside.
So. Well, I mean, how are you gonna?
Yeah.
How would you know what service you're getting if you don't have a menu, right?
Yeah.
Like you need to. Let's be efficient here.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like there was one time after a work party. You know, you go to the second party.
Yeah.
That's where you go when you go to your izakaya, go to your pub, you know, you just let loose the necktie and just kind of like chill.
Okay.
And then after that, we were walking home and the guys split off from the group and they're like, "What are you going to go over here?" It was a red light district. So, you know, it's just an accepted part of life over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You actually brought up a good point on you said second party, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of they call that here the same thing, I would say, in the States, but it's not as a well-defined thing. Mm-hmm. So I would say in Japan, for like, we'll stick with salaryman culture, or mm-hmm. we'll stick with like your work buddies. So
yeah.
After work, you would all go out to dinner dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd call that first party, mm-hmm. or ichikai, mm-hmm. right? Ichi is one, and then kai is like time.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you probably go to another bar, and that would be nikai. And then the third one would be sankai. And then the fourth one would be gyonkai.
Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of, and you can refer to them as that, as such, right? It was like, oh yeah, last night, sankai, like third time. And that kind of, it's kind of more well-defined. So I think that's an interesting part.
I will say, at least in like my work circle, which each kai you kind of whittle down, you know, everyone goes to the first one. It's a little bit more polite,
yes.
You know, you watch your language. Second one is like, it's kind of your work group, your friends group.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you let loose a little bit. And then by third time, you know, it's your closest friends and you're just like all out.
Hmm. That is kind of true. And usually it's karaoke is usually one of those.
Yeah, definitely.
Usually one of those. Whether it be, I think for my friend's group, it was usually like the fourth one or the third one.
Yeah, because karaoke bars or karaoke boxes, they like stay open till like 4 o'clock in the morning. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that was an interesting point you brought mm-hmm. up. So, yeah, those are, to give you a little bit more context. So I was, you know, walking around downtown Osaka. I don't even think it was a red light district, to mm-hmm. be honest. And obviously, like, I stick out because I'm a foreigner, and it's mm-hmm. nighttime on a weekend. Okay, whatever. So I've got two stories, the same situation. So one, a girl was outside a shop, and I could see that, you know, there were signs that the shop gave a massage, and she's like, "You want a massage?" I was like, no, thank you. She's like, you know, she kept that, and then she's like, "Yeah, you want sexy massage?" And I was I'm good, thanks.
Yeah.
But so there's that one that kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, they will target foreigners specifically.
Yeah, they will. And another part of their MO is, you know, they might bring you in. It might be completely innocent. You might just share a few drinks and then you get the bill and it's thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, be careful.
And then you try to argue and they're just like, "I don't know English. Pay us money."
Yeah. Be careful.
Yeah.
Careful. Have you ever personally heard of one of those stories? Or I've never heard. Personally heard of one of those stories, but I could see how a shop owner might like try and do that.
Yeah. Thankfully I don't know anyone who it's personally happened to, but I've, you know, heard horror stories.
The other story I had of you know, kind of an entertainment district was, you know, I was walking around foreigner at night weekend and I saw an African man, which there are African people in Tokyo and Osaka. This one was in Osaka, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go to a cool club or whatever?" Like he was like trying to recruit me or whatever. And so I was like, okay, I ended up going with him. And then we got there, and he's like, "Yeah, it's gonna be $5." I was like, so we like stopped at the door. He's like, "Yeah, it's gonna be $5. Like your cover charge is what he put it as." And I was like, okay, whatever. So I was there. Go downstairs. And there was a, I saw a flyer, like there was a dedicated flyer. So that's how he recruited me. Yeah, that's how that worked. He had a dedicated flyer of DJ whoever, whatever was playing. And it was on that night. And I was like, oh, okay, let's see what this is about. I get there. There's a small bar and a dance floor, probably 30 or 40 feet by 20 feet. So like a good enough area to have a club. The DJ's at the bar eating chicken wings. The place is dead. Straight up dead. Not a single person is on the dance floor. And I look at the flyer. Like, I've got the flyer in my hand. Like, starts at 7. It's like 7:05. Nobody's there. I got duped.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. So I stayed there, had a drink, and obviously left. But
you didn't share any chicken wings
with the DJ? He was legit just chilling there eating chicken.
Maybe it was a meet and greet. For this famous DJ. Though.
He had his. I felt kind of bad for the guy because, you know, he had his whole setup, and I don't know if he was like he was from the area or not, but he had his whole setup, all his DJ equipment set up and everything, and the light floor had strobes and everything. Like, it could have been a happening place, but for whatever reason, I don't know why, it just was. Gosh.
Dang. But, you know, when you said that it was like an African guy that recruited you, that kind of made me think of something else.
Yep.
That where I lived, there was actually kind of a significant population of, you know, Africans and other black foreigners. And so there actually kind of was a dedicated black bar where they played like African music and stuff.
Okay.
I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, in my town we had like a dedicated international bar. And so, you know, if you're kind of like, if you're just tired, you want to taste a home, you know, you just want to be somewhere comfortable and like you, where you know what's going on, you're probably going to be able to find it. You know, just get on Google, search for like, you know, international bar, German bar, English bar. They have English pubs a lot,
yeah they do.
Yeah, so you'll always be able to find some place that will make you feel at home.
That's a good point. We haven't gotten to Gaijin bars, but that is like a foreigner bar.
Yeah.
Gaijin means foreigner in Japanese, so that's Gaijin, Gaijin bar. Mm-hmm. But it's a dedicated bar that kind of caters more towards foreigners.
Yeah.
So it's actually an interesting thing, right? So if you're a Japanese person trying to meet like other foreigners, you would go there. And if you're a foreigner that's trying to have maybe a softer or an easier time, you would go to a Gaijin bar. Or if you're trying to meet other Japanese people who are interested in meeting foreigners, then you would go there. Or maybe the Japanese people want to practice their English, or it's kind of just a more easier situation.
Yes. Oh my
god.
I went to a Gaijin bar one time and there was this Japanese guy sitting next to me. He spoke only a little bit of English, but he's like, I can do Eminem. I'm like, wait, you mean like the rapper? He's like, yeah, I can do it. I'm like, show me. He literally gets up there, you know, it's doing karaoke, and he just like nails it.
Really? What song did he sing?
He sung the one with Mom Spaghetti, Loser, or whatever. No.
Lose yourself.
Yeah, that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds wild.
It was, yeah. So, just because it's called a foreigner bar, there will be Japanese people there. So, don't think that you're just, you know, gonna go to a Gaijin fest.
Dude, that sounds dope.
Yeah.
That's a funny story.
Yeah, I was very impressed.
But again, at Gaijin bars, you're pretty much you're gonna find English.
Yeah.
Be the prominent language. Again, they cater more towards foreigners.
Yeah.
English speaking staff, or bilingual staff, more than likely.
And a lot of the times they also cater to like migrant workers. Like there's a lot of Filipinos who work in Japan, a lot of Malaysians. And so you kind of get Gaijin bars that cater to those communities, but those are also cool to check out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You always get really good food at those ones.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting point that I wanted to circle back on. It reminded me of izakayas.
Mm-hmm.
So at izakayas, that's kind of more of a very Japanese thing. Like you at an izakaya, you're likely to find like a handwritten Japanese menu, which can be difficult.
Yeah.
That can be
Yeah.
Like, it's difficult enough, like, reading just straight up Japanese, but then...
It's handwritten, it's so handwritten, if you can't read the handwriting.
So you're like, what in God's name is this? So, yeah, just keep that in mind. I'm sure you could probably work out something.
Honestly, just ask for something typical and they'll probably have it. You know, ask for, karage, fried chicken, they're going to have it.
I would always say osusume, which is like...
suggestion.
Yeah, suggestion, or recommendation.
Yeah.
I would always say osusume onegaishimasu. Mm-hmm. So please make me a recommendation.
Yeah, that's a good...
So that's a good one to keep in your back pocket there.
Yes, and that works for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Another thing I wanted to touch on is kind of the culture of... It's about nightlife, salaryman culture.
Ah, yes.
So what was it, can you talk on like the social pressures that exist? So you worked at a school, mm-hmm. obviously. I worked kind of more towards the salaryman culture. I worked at an industrial heat treating manufacturer and mm-hmm. designer. So there were a lot of engineers, a lot of businessmen and stuff like that. So what was your experience with like the salaryman culture? What was your take on it?
Long hours, lots of pressure, lots of pressure to kind of bond with your like coworkers, which is why they go out so often together.
Yeah, it's something that I haven't fully grasped, but it's definitely so. I would say in America, it's more geared towards okay after work. You go back home to your family, spend time with your family and raise your kids and everything else like that. In Japan, it's kind of more about camaraderie and
yeah.
bonding with your worker, your mm-hmm. coworkers. And that kind of stems from, I think, this mentality that the company takes care of you and you like work hard for the company. I think that's a stronger principle
Definitely.
In Japan than in the United States.
Yeah. It's actually kind of rare to get fired at a Japanese company.
It's very rare.
You might be demoted. You might get in trouble. But once you're hired in, you're pretty much got a job.
It's very rare as well to hear of people switching jobs.
Yes.
In Japan. Which is why, again, they have many companies, like the larger companies, they have dormitories mm-hmm. for their employees. Because it's so rare that people switch jobs that that's just part of the culture.
And it's also kind of this weird thing with, like, universities. Depending on where you graduate from, companies will only take, like, graduates from a certain university. Like, Toyota might only hire from University of Tokyo or something. So,
yeah.
That also kind of, you know, goes with the camaraderie thing. Hey, we were all buddies before. We'll still be buddies.
Yeah, I would just say there's more social pressure in Japan in general to hang out with your coworkers.
Yes.
So if the boss asks you to go out after work, like there's a lot more social pressure to do that than there really is.
Yeah. So you'll be spending a lot of evenings, you know, out with your coworkers drinking, getting dinner. Stuff like that.
What else did you have on your list?
Because
I had a couple more things.
Yeah, go for it.
Have you heard of, or have you seen InfoMen? Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. Okay. InfoMen.
All right. So what this is there, and this is one specific brand of this. There's other brands that I've seen. So in the entertainment districts, you'll find these small, I would refer to them as kiosks. They're in buildings mm-hmm. and they've got like a front door, but they're small like rooms. Sometimes you'll see like a small curtain over them, but basically they're guides to, we'll say local entertainment. So they're mostly geared towards men. But they also have a dedicated like person in there that'll kind of assist you for whatever you're like looking for that night.
Wait, so if I say like, hey, I'm looking for this bar, do you know where it is? Will they like walk you there?
No, but there's a map of like the district. So they'll show a picture of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I remember I went there went to one of them one time, and I asked the guy, I don't think the guy understood much English, but I was able to, you know, have enough of a conversation with him that I asked him for an English-speaking girls bar, mm-hmm. right? And he's like, yeah, maybe this one. He couldn't really say confidently. I was like, okay, whatever, we'll go to this one. That's fine. It ended up being, interestingly enough, a NFL-themed one. So the girl I was talking to was wearing a Dolphins jersey.
Heck yeah. So, like, did they know about football? Or
I don't think so. But okay. They had, like, football on the TV. And you know,
oh, that's so weird.
An NFL. It was so weird, but yeah. It was fun. It was really fun. But, yeah, so it's, like, a dedicated – and they've got them – I know they've got a few in Tokyo. And, again, these are in the entertainment districts. And it's kind of a – they've got everything from – it's from girls bars to like hostess. Well, I don't think they got hostess clubs, but they got snack bars, they got boys bars, like basically all the local entertainment. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know how that works. Like, how do they make their money? Because it's free to like talk to the dedicated
dude. Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe local businesses sponsor
it. It might be like everybody chips in, like every business chips in like $500 or whatever it is. All the businesses that are being advertised there, mm-hmm. and then
that could be it.
I'm guessing that's what it
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting aspect. You've never seen any of those?
I have seen like the little kiosks. I've never gone.
Some
into
of them,
that.
Yeah. Some of them can be kind of explicit. We'll say because you know they'll have like a little curtain
that'll
cover up, but some of them are like. It'll show like very cute and beautiful girls on there, all dolled up and everything.
Yeah.
So you'll find those in the entertainment district. The one specifically I just said was Info Men.
Huh, that's
but
cool.
But I've seen other brands as well.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like to talk about, or have you heard of the term Scouto?
No.
So Scout. Uh-huh. But Scouto, because, you know, Japanese. So the one particular time, and I'd only had an experience with them once. So again, in the entertainment district, it's, you'll see them cause they're dressed up like really, like it's usually a guy dressed up very nicely. Like he's going to go to a wedding or something like that. And he'll have like a walkie talkie or like an earpiece in. And basically his job is, so what you'll do is you'll go up, and again, this was when I was getting taken out by contractors one night, so I didn't know what was going on. Nobody was telling me what was going on, and they probably couldn't even speak enough English to tell me what was going on. So I was just going with the flow. And they go up to this scouto, and they, you know, as the conversation went, they're like, okay, we got five guys, and we're looking for XYZ. Mm-hmm. So the scouto will call up to, you know, XYZ place. He'll take out his phone, call them up and be like, hey, I got five people. You guys got room? And they'll be like, yes. And then, you know, he'll direct us to there. He'll take us to the front door, drop us off. He'll leave. I mean, we're at the place, that, you know, where we wanted to be. And I'm sure he gets a kickback from the
yeah,
place as well.
That is awesome. Because I remember one time after an office party, we literally went to like five different restaurants trying to find room.
Doesn't that suck?
Yeah, it does suck. So yeah,
I think
go
the
scout though.
The scoutos are more directed towards like the entertainment. So
yeah.
I don't know if he would have been able to, or if he would have been the person to talk to about just a general restaurant.
Yeah.
I think he was more on like the girls bar, or, like,
yeah,
whatever strip club.
But still,
side
that's
of things.
Really convenient. So you don't just like walk in. Hey, can we chill here? No, get out.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Makes sense.
It does. You know,
it makes
yeah.
sense. Like literally everybody wins in that.
Yeah.
In that. I mean, we didn't have to pay for his services, just like,
oh my gosh, so convenience.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
That's what Japan is all about, convenience.
For
heck
sure.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Let's see, what else do we have here? You know, we talked about scouts. I think I'm kinda running out of topics.
Well, let's talk about, you know, when the night ends. You know, you had your fun. What's next? Because what time do the train stations close?
Oh, they close at midnight.
Yeah,
usually,
they typically did
typically
in my area
midnight.
Too.
So you're, and that's like, and so Tokyo definitely closed at midnight because I, long story short, one of my vacations over there where I wasn't as familiar as I am now, did I get lost? I forget what it was. Yeah, I couldn't find a hotel, and this was in downtown Tokyo, and I couldn't find a hotel, And so I had the bright idea. I was like, oh, I'll just ride the subway till like infinity, right? Like yeah. just ride it around because it goes in a loop around yeah. Tokyo or one of them. And then they start kicking people out at midnight. I was like, dang.
Wait, this, really?
Yeah. Dang. They kick you out.
And it sucks because like, I mean, even in Germany, like it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, it would stop. It's like midnight.
Dang.
It's so early. Night's still young.
Well, what I would, so a couple things with that, the end of the night, mm-hmm. right? Well, what are your comments? Let's hear your comments first.
Well, you know, I would definitely say do not be afraid to get a taxi. You know, a lot of times in America, I'm like, oh, crap, this guy's going to follow me home. He's going to charge me a bunch. I might get kidnapped. No, taxi drivers in Japan, super professional, super nice. They will get you where you need to be. And they're definitely not as cheap as a subway, but they're not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Again, I'm a guy, so I don't usually think of things or
yeah.
maybe some of the dangers that would exist for women.
Yeah.
I can't, I don't have that sense or maybe that worry behind me.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll say is that at the end of the night, you know, it's general, you go back to your train station. It's interesting because there's less actual driving. So there's less cars and there's less people who own cars
mm-hmm.
in Japan as a whole. Like the train system's yeah. great and amazing. So in Japan, you can go out and have a really, really good time. Like a good time
yeah.
beyond where you should be driving.
Yes.
And it's not that big of a deal because you could, as long as you make the last train, you're good yeah. to go.
One thing I will say though, if you happen to have a bike on you, and you have had a drink, you are not allowed to drive it.
Oh,
you cannot ride a bike drunk. They will pull you over and you will go get it.
That makes sense.
It's basically the same charge as drunk driving.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
And Japanese drunk driving laws are a lot stricter. If you have one drink, you're not supposed to be drinking. You're not supposed to be driving the rest of the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not like a 0.08 limit. It's just you have any alcohol in your breath. You don't drive.
Yeah, it's a difference. That's good. That's a good way,
oh, yeah.
good way to be. Yeah. The other thing I would say about the end of the night is that, for me in particular, it was really cool because, you know, I could go out with my friends, have a good time, and then we'd all be taking the same subway back to the same dorm
yeah.
that's right, because it was my co-workers. So that was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
It's just very cool, a very unique experience.
And if you, like, happen to get stranded, you're like, oh no, I don't know where I am. You know, maybe your heels are broke. Best place to go for, you know, just some sanctuary is a konbini.
Konbini.
Yeah, you can, you know, refresh yourself, get something to eat. And the people there are super helpful. You give them your cell phone and be like, hey, can you call my hotel and have them arrange a taxi? They'll do it for you.
Oh, wow.
They're always super yeah. helpful. So definitely konbinis can be like a beacon of hope in the night if you're stranded.
I feel like, yeah, konbinis are a stop. Or at least you stop there once throughout the night.
Oh, definitely.
Somebody, like, wants a drink.
Yeah.
Or wants, like, a quick snack or whatever else. Yeah, I feel like the konbini stop is one of the stops throughout the night.
Especially in the summer if it's humid because you gotta stay hydrated.
Yes.
Alcohol does not hydrate.
Yeah, yeah. Grab, like, what was it? Like a Pocari Sweat.
Heck yeah, Pocari Sweat.
Such a weird.
No, Pocari Sweat is my jam.
It was good. It was yeah. good. That's like, I think the dedicated, like, hydration drink. Think
yeah.
of, like, Gatorade or the Japanese equivalent of Gatorade.
Yeah. And it was actually made in my home prefecture of Tokushima.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Who makes that?
Otsuka.
Not familiar.
It kind of tastes a little bit salty, but that's because of those electrolytes.
It does. It's salty and sweet.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Yeah.
So that's basically how the end of the night works.
Yeah.
Did you have any closing comments?
Well, another thing that we should say is, you know, when you get back to your apartment, get back to your hotel, get back to wherever you're staying, you know, you're gonna be loud, you're still drunk, you might be tripping over stuff. Japan's walls are a lot thinner, so your neighbors will hear a lot more. And just be aware of that.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Very good point. Especially I've seen sometimes where like you'll be on the subway cars and people will actually, like if you've got a group or whatever, like one time my group was a little bit rowdy. Mm-hmm. So people like actually just moved over to the next car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah, they were. My group was a little bit rowdy.
Oh, wow. Normally they only do that for the Gaijin. So, really? Yeah.
I've never seen that. Have you seen that?
No.
That somebody would switch cars just because of Gaijin?
Well, there was this one time a guy got off and he was yelling at the conductor saying he didn't want to stand next to me. But
really? Yeah. That is... I guess you've seen, like, the whatever videos, on the news, that happening in the United States.
Oh, but what was hilarious was, you know, right after that transaction happened, I was, you know, sad and down and went to a Starbucks and there was this, like, old couple next to me and they're like, oh, you're just the cutest thing, this cute little foreigner, you should date our son. And he's like,
so, oh my god.
It takes all kinds.
Wow. Yeah. All in the same day?
Yeah. Wow. All in like the same hour.
Wow. That's yeah. That's going down to pretty nice up, I'd say.
Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah, I think that's all we've got to say about that.
Yes. So if you are in Japan, you'll definitely want to take a stroll outside once the sun goes down. There's always something to do. And even if you're not into like bars or dancing or karaoke, I would just go out and people watch. Because the lights in Japan in the Japanese cities are amazing. You know, you get a sense of their advertising, which is always like a good insight into the culture. So, and it's very safe. You know, you don't have to feel worried about walking down the streets at night. So I would definitely recommend it.
Another aspect I would say that's interesting is that some people struggle, like if you don't drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some people, I think, in the United States, they struggle. They're like, well, what can I do at night to hang out with somebody that doesn't involve drinking? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because they feel like if they go to a bar that it's kind of awkward, which it can be, mm-hmm. depending on the circumstances. Cue karaoke boxes.
Definitely. Definitely. You can just get Coke and everyone else can be drinking.
And everybody's having a good time. It's not awkward. It's a good environment.
And a good tip, if you do happen to be at a party and you don't want to drink, just leave your glass full because they'll refill it when it's empty. And so if you leave it full, it's kind of like, hey, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a good tip.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all for today.
Yeah. Definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah. So if anybody has any topics that we missed or thought that we should have covered or any different types of bars, I think we covered pretty much all of them. But
yeah, a lot of them.
There's...
If you have any crazy stories about nights out in Japan, definitely leave them in the comments. We would love to hear some of those.
Love to.
Definitely.
So I'm logging off. I'm Isaac.
I'm Abby. And thanks for joining us for Hibana.
See you later, guys.